I felt like when I started to leave my body, I was getting attacked, I would say, for about 5 years straight. Another thing is, I would just call it the entity, okay? Because these guys are, I don't know what or how these guys are, but basically it's like a shadow that could take on any form it feels that you will like. These beings can actually manifest their form through their thoughts into the astral. And some of them are very neutral. Like I said, you don't feel a thing with them. Some of them are, the only way I could describe it is a bone chilling. Like literally you feel cold air going through your bones. It's not a good feeling. All they want to do is separate you more. Divide and conquer, make you angry and keep you in a state of fear. That is the job of government. They know that there's a certain population of the earth, a very small number of people that will see through the garbage. I would say that that consciousness would want to experience what its creators were like millions and billions of years ago.
What, before we get into more of this, to these interdimensional entities, you could put a label on many different labels on it, but I guess what led you down your process of awakening to this bullshit reality that we live in?
I would have to say that I've always had one foot in this world and one foot out of it my entire life. So I had these experiences as a young child of pre-birth memories, past life memories would come to me. And also beings would show up in my room, especially I would call it a shadow being. And when I would describe it to people when I was a child, I would say there was like a scarecrow in the closet. It was like a scarecrow. It looked like a dehydrated human. That was my best description of what these beings looked like. But that kind of went away as I grew up. And then it was in my early 20s, I was having sleep issues, which was sleep paralysis. And that's when everything just started to come back to the forefront that there's something else to this world. And I don't know, have you ever experienced sleep paralysis? Because actually almost everybody that I speak to has had that type of experience.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Well, yes, that and sleepwalking, which makes you wonder what takes over your body to make you sleepwalk. Like what's in your subconscious? Because my grandmother, when I was younger, I don't know, I did it a lot when I was all the way up to 10 years old, and she would follow me all the way to the bathroom and I would lay in the bathtub. Sometimes she would follow me. She couldn't find me. She would just find me in the closet sleeping. And it makes you wonder, and with the sleep paralysis, you know, it makes you wonder what's actually going on. Like what's going on the deeper psychological, I guess, subconscious level. You know what I mean, Jason?
Yes. And, you know, I do believe the scientific reasoning for why it happens. There is a chemistry in your brain, a different frequency that will kick in to shut your body off while you sleep and dream. And for some reason, people have awareness during that state, but their body is still in that paralyzed state. So I do believe that, but I believe that the description goes far more into the spiritual realms than people are willing to admit. And this, I truly believe that sleep paralysis is basically the doorway to out-of-body experience. It's the doorway to the astral world. And if you understand how to project or will yourself out of your body in that state, that's the state you can do it in. And that's how I figured it out. It was just through actually sheer panic and fear of being in a sleep paralysis state. As for sleepwalking, now that I don't know too much about, but it's the same thing with being, let's say, blackout drunk.
Yeah.
What is taking over your body? It's like you totally black out. You have no memory or understanding of what you did, but your friends are there saying, man, you were, you know, walking around the place. You were, you know, making music, whatever you were doing, you have no memory of it. So can things take over our consciousness? And I believe 100% that that is possible.
And Jason, I told you this a while ago, right before, you know, right when we connected. And now, what is it dangerous to have to try to have these outer body experiences, such as astral projection and others? I guess even what do you call it? Remote viewing, you know, others. That's not really outer body experience, but it's kind of on the same level. But is it dangerous? Because now someone like you, it may not be as dangerous because I believe you are more a conscious, awakened being. You know, you're more in touch, I guess, with your own. It's hard to put it in sentences. You're more in touch with your own reality. You know, it's like, I guess with somebody else, somebody that's green, somebody that's inexperienced, could it be dangerous for them to try to do these outer body experiences and other practices?
I would say that it was dangerous for me. I believe that when you start to get out of the body, get into the dimensional worlds, it's almost like you're noticed. It's like, it's just like I could see the mask in the background. They live, they say, you know, that one can see.
The poster also right there.
Yeah, it's like that person can see us. And it's like once you are out, suddenly you become this type of target, I would say. Now they can see you. I felt like when I started to leave my body, I was getting attacked, I would say, for about 5 years straight, where I would wake up at night and there would be a being or an entity, you would call it, and it would be trying to pull me out of my body. It would be trying to push inside my body. All these weird things. It felt like they were hurting me or suffocating me or just really trying to scare me. And I've heard this a lot with people. When people first start to enter into these new worlds, the first thing that happens is they just get attacked or something very bad happens to them. And then you say, well, do you want to try that again? Mm-hmm. And they go, hell no. I am never, ever going to put my foot in that world again because, you know, there's a lot of fear and a lot of potential danger. I remember I was working with a shaman, and this is in the early stages of my awakening. And so I would go out and travel at night, and I'd go, and the shaman would see me, and they would say, where have you been going? Because you're taking a lot of hitchhikers back with you into this world. So as you go into other dimensions, these other type of consciousness beings, whatever you want to call them, somehow have the ability to attach themselves to your energy, and then you bring them into this world. So then the shaman would have to, let's say, do these entity extractions.
They need a host,
basically. Basically. And I believe that this is something that's very, I'll call it religious, very ancient religions or shamanism. It's something has to do with the vessel of the human body or to be in a physical dimension. A lot of these beings do not have a physicality, but by attaching themselves to something that is physical, they can have that physical experience.
Now, you were just bringing up, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you're just bringing up religion, I guess. I don't want to get into religion, but, and I don't want to offend people that are maybe listening to this, but we're just having a conversation here. Now, what if, now these, I guess you could say prophets in the Bible, what if they weren't getting necessarily messages from a man in the clouds, you know, speaking to them? What if somehow they were doing forms of astral projection, or they were doing forms of outer body, some other practice of outer body experience? And just like you said, they were bringing an entity attached to them, use them as a host, and maybe they spoke through them. And how do we know that is God? You know what I'm saying? That could be anybody. That could be anything. Kind of makes you wonder. And then we have thousands, millions, billions of people following this word for thousands of years. And it could just be a demonic entity from another dimension.
Absolutely. And this is why we really have to be careful with the messages that we receive. And I know there's a lot of channelers out there. I know there's a lot of information coming out, let's say from ascended masters or archangels, or and people really, really believe this stuff. We don't know the actual dangers that lie in connecting to that type of being or information, because we don't really know these agendas. We don't understand the reason for this. And the only thing that I could see is it's like these beings can cast a net. So the only way I could describe it, it's like they could take some information, they can give it to somebody, and then through that person, if that information resonates with somebody and they start to go down that road of the same information, it's like that entity can now attach to them as well. So it's like, it's almost like a thought virus. Mm-hmm. And you can see this a lot with cults. You could see this a lot with religious sects, that it's just, you know, they're brainwashed. And it's extremely hard to get them out of that brainwashing cycle. It's because they're basically entrained by this seed idea that maybe this dimensional being has seeded within them, that's swaying their consciousness in a certain type of way that you can't really sway them back.
Have you read the Eighth Tower by John Keel?
I have not.
Very good book. He also wrote the Mothman
prophecies.
Yeah, they made a movie about it also. But here's a quote by him, and it kind of goes on what we're saying, man. You have to read this book. It will blow your freaking mind. But I got pull up right here. Forbidden Books is by John Keel from the Eighth Tower. Forbidden books on black magic, witchcraft, and ancient religious beliefs all describe this basic materialization process, including solemn warnings to avert the eyes when you materialize an angel or demon through some secret rite, lest you suffer from conjunctivitis, and which is pink eye, and the other painful maladies produced by the rays of the EM spectrum. All mythology tells how one should not gaze upon the countenance of a materialized god, although they lacked proper terminology for these effects and were obliged to speak in terms of rays and vibrations. Secret cults throughout the ages knew that entities moved into our reality through a process of altering frequencies. How powerful is that, dude?
Very powerful. And I completely agree with that. And I know that I believe that, let's say, like the astral realm is this a space in between. Let's just call it a neutral zone. And these beings can actually manifest their form through their thoughts into the astral. So it's not even like they're actually there. Their thought formation is manifest through a vibration in that astral world where you can interact with them. Now, it is known that these beings could also do the same thing in a three-dimensional state. So you could be sitting outside completely awake and suddenly a being can manifest, give you a message, and then go away. I believe that they can do this, but for some reason in the third dimension, it's very difficult. So it takes a lot of energy for them to do it, and they can only stay here for a very short amount of time.
Now, before we get further into this, Jason, now you may be having people out there that are watching this or listening to it via just audio that are saying, okay, what are these entities? Like, are they in physical form? Are they the grays, the reptilians? I know I may be asking you to speculate some, but what does your gut tell you?
I've been trying to go over this my whole life, And I still don't have the proper answer yet. I'm not satisfied. But what I will tell you is these beings can be thought forms of other beings, as in they could be created entities of consciousness, as in a human being could actually create.
Almost like an archon, almost?
Yes. In a way. It's almost like if we say there's a, if like me and you get together and we say, let's create a being and we're going to give it a name, we're going to give it a function, a history. And it's like, and then we're going to start spreading that message and telling people, well, our act of creation, we're putting our life force energy into creating that being on the astral and making it so.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but the Slender Man, come on. There you
exactly.
go.
Exactly. So these things are very, very possible. And in fact, I need to write all these things down when I hear about them. But I think it was Nightmare on Elm Street, the creator of Nightmare on Elm Street, when he created Freddy, people started dying in their sleep. And he believed that his movie was the reason for that. And he had a lot of guilt about it, because he created this form in the astral. Mm.
This shit's so, scary, yes. Dude. This shit is scary.
No kidding. So that's one aspect. Okay. There's so many different aspects here. So that's one aspect, is a thought creation using life force energy. The next type of being, I believe, is aspects of memories of ourselves that get traumatized or broken off of our consciousness. So I've had entities come to me. They just look like giant shadows, and they're very heavy and dark. And when you work with them on that level, let's say you do a healing on them in the astral, sometimes their form will transform into somebody that you know. And you realize that this is a hurt aspect of their consciousness. It's something that needed healing. So that's another aspect that I've noticed. Another thing is, I would just call it the entity, okay? Because these guys are, I don't know what or how these guys are, but basically it's like a shadow that could take on any form it feels that you will like. So it's like this thing can come to you. It could come to you in the disguise of your mother or father. It could come to you as an angel or like a god, and it will talk to you in that way. So it's very intelligent. And you know, you have to kind of deal with these things a couple times to realize there's something not right about this. And then you kind of use your will to say, show me your true form. And when you do that and you have that kind of energy behind it, suddenly the form of, let's say, someone you know disappears and you see this other being that shouldn't be there. So it's kind of like this trickster spirit. Then you have deceased beings in this world. That's what I'm saying. It's like this in-between space is like, it's almost like everything is in there. Because you deal with deceased people that have crossed. And then you deal with what we call aliens. So where do they come from? I don't know. But I believe that the form of communication and traveling is not from a spaceship. I believe that's our kind of idea of, you know, we see a bird flying in the sky traveling. So we create planes to do the same thing. I don't think these beings travel in spaceships. I believe that they have their astral form or their spiritual form. They may be embodied on some other planet, but they could step out of their bodies, travel the different dimensions, and come and visit us. So I've had interactions with beings that would be considered alien. Like I've seen grays, I've seen mantids, I've seen what we would call reptilians, and all different types of beings, but it was always in that out-of-body experience state in another dimension. It was never physical.
What type of reaction or how do you feel when you get into these entities? Like, would you say 75-90% of them feel benevolent or malevolent, like demonic in nature, or good? Or how do you feel when kind of you're in the presence of them?
I would say most of the entities, you do have a fear. And that, I think that's just a survival mechanism we all have. So I would say for the first 5-10 years when this would happen to me, the first sensation I would feel is absolute fear, because you're never really ready for it. You're always asleep, you know, you're sleeping in bed, and suddenly you feel something in your room and you kind of wake up. You don't wake up in the physical sense. You wake up in that dimensional sense, where now you're aware of this other dimension, and you can see and hear and interact with that being, whatever that being is. Usually when it's a good being, there's a type of warmth. It's the only way you could describe it. It's like this warm honey. It's kinda almost like...
It's kind of like when you take a shot of whiskey.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it's like. It's like, or some magical drug. It's just, you just feel this warmth go through your body and you feel very good. And you feel this kind of overwhelming sense of love. And I've experienced this with many different beings. And I find it very strange, because you hear a lot of channelers, they get like pages and pages of information about, you know, here's the message. I'm coming here to deliver a message to you. With me, that was like maybe 1% of contact experience was a message. Everything else was just kind of a presence. It was almost like you're just hanging out with some other being and they're radiating that love to you, or they're trying to mess with you. There was no messages, really. It was just experiencing that. And a lot of the times it was very neutral. And I would say that with the alien type beings is extremely neutral. So it's like, I felt nothing when I came in contact with a gray. Like, I felt nothing. When I came in contact with a praying mantis, the sense I got was confusion. Like, this being was confused about me. It was like trying to figure something out about me. It was just, that's what I felt with the mantid beings. Some people have very positive experience with mantids, and some people have very negative experience with mantids. Now with the reptilians, I've come in contact with, I would say, many different species of it. It's not just one type. And some of them are very neutral. Like I say, you don't feel a thing with them. Some of them are, the only way I could describe it is a bone chilling. Like, literally, you feel cold air going through your bones. It's not a good feeling. And sometimes you could even smell them. So I don't even want to say it's a physical smell, but sometimes it's like, it smells like rotting garbage. It's the only way to describe that. And then there's also reptilians that, for some reason, huge amount of sexual energy, like just huge amount of sexual energy, and almost like you have this violent feeling about them. So I could definitely feel different emotions from reptilians, where like the grays and the mantids, it's almost like nothing. I don't really feel anything.
Now, maybe one reason why this mostly happens, maybe I'm just, you know, speculating here, all this happens in the sleep state, is because maybe your subconscious or your consciousness, you're more of a neutral state, more of a, I guess your consciousness and everything else is not bombarded by this artificial reality that we live in. So you're more at ease, you're more just in a neutral state, and it's more, you're more acceptable to, I guess, tap into these other frequencies, to these other vibrations, these other possibly dimensions.
Well, two things about that. Your brain literally changes as you start to go and enter into sleep state. So the brain will physically change with its brainwave patterns, and it will create a different chemistry. So it starts to actually go through this huge transition to enter you into this dream state or this sleep state, which I believe is the first step into what the shamans call the spirit world. So as we go to sleep every single night, it's that process that allows us that separation of body and mind and consciousness awareness so that we could experience these other dimensional worlds. Now, there was a study came out, I think it was called the Blue Brain Study. It just came out, I think this year or last year. It was like a $1 billion study about the brain. And their conclusion was that the brain creates geometric structures that are tapped into about 11 dimensions. And when I heard that, it totally made sense that at all times, our consciousness is tapped into this multidimensional awareness, but in a waking everyday state of mind, you're basically in beta state awareness, which literally holds you into the physical reality. And this is why people that do meditation work, do breathing work, yoga, qigong, all types of spiritual work, they learn how to bring their brain waves lower into, let's say, the alpha, theta, delta states. And it's in those lower frequency states that they have these experiences. So you hear a lot in the New Age community, everybody has to raise their frequency. It's actually the opposite.
Is that it right there?
That's it. The human brain can create structures in up to 11 dimensions. See, I was very close.
Yeah, because I had to look it up because I remember something about that also. I'm like, what is that? While you were talking, I was thinking, I've come across that article, but other websites wrote about this article as well, but it's mind-blowing, man.
It really is. And if this... We are, in a sense, this type of multidimensional being having a physical experience, and the actual body itself, the vessel, we would call it, the vessel is the portal or gateway to these other worlds that tap your spirit or your consciousness awareness into the physical reality. So many people describe the body as the sarcophagus, the tomb. You know, it's our meat sack. It's our car that we navigate this world. But many mystics were able to lower their brain waves, lower their breathing, and switch out basically of this dimension. And many cultures today still use plant medicines to change the chemistry of the brain that will just alter the awareness outside of this physical world where you can have those experiences. And I think it was the experiments with DMT under medical supervision. I think it was Rick Stratzman for the spirit molecule. Basically, these individuals that took this mind-altering substance in a hospital setting had entity experiences, had angel, godlike experiences, and had alien experiences, you know? Mm-hmm. So all of this was just by altering the chemistry of the mind. And go ahead.
I'm sorry, Jason. But I guess it kind of goes along with what you're saying. When we were created, how we were created, how we became into existence, whatever. Do you think that we were genetically modified to where our five senses and our consciousness was tampered to where we have limits to our evolutionary process as a conscious being? Because what if we aren't allowed to expand beyond this 3D dimensional reality on this planet? Maybe once we do expand our extra sensory capabilities and our consciousness to a certain level on this planet during this lifetime is only when we go to a higher dimensional reality after we die. Maybe that's when we get reincarnated to another world or parallel universe. And that is similar to this, but only, I guess, but only is for those who maybe have advanced their, I guess, their consciousness and become more higher frequency beings.
I believe that for some reason, we are not supposed to know about these other worlds. For some reason, we're just, our senses and, you know, we can say genetically modified our consciousness to hold us here. But there has always been people throughout our entire history. We would call them the mystics or the shamans or the priests, the psychics, the healers. There is a small percentage of people that have always been able to tap in. And
what if they're possessed, though, by these other entities? Makes you wonder. And they had these extra powers, I guess. Just to play the devil's advocate, because
of course, it's quite possible. But if you start to work with different shamans and tap into these very ancient lineages, they will tell you to watch out for exactly what we're talking about. So it seems that they're able to navigate and understand that these beings don't have maybe the best interest for us, and they could manipulate us in a certain way. And they've created methods of stopping that from happening. I know that there's a lot of Native Americans, Native Canadians, Indigenous people all over the world. We call them the record keepers or the wisdom keepers. And when this continent was taken over, they had a lot of information that we are discussing. Trust me, a whole lot more that nobody's discussing. And I believe there was a considerable effort to find those people of knowledge and to wipe them out for some reason, for some agenda. And I think we're the human race is definitely paying the price for that, because it has locked us into this matrix type reality that we experience based off of dogma and economy, basically. And if you don't believe what we believe, then there's something wrong with you and we're going to medicate you. So it's a very tightly, tightly controlled matrix type reality. And I believe that the people in charge, whoever those people are, you can call it entities from another dimension or just assholes, you know, whatever you want to call them, is that they know that there's a certain population of the earth, a very small number of people that will see through the garbage, that will see reality as reality. And they've built that matrix up so well that they don't really care about us, because it's such a small percentage that they don't need to send assassins or poison us or try to discredit us. They don't even care, because it's such a small amount of people. Now, if all the populations all at once start to awaken to these ideas and experience them as real, these controllers may have a serious problem on their hands. Because this world is basically controlled on fear, mm-hmm. and being in perpetual war, keeping you basically mindlessly working just so you could put food in your mouth. So it's a very crazy system.
And man, we are sinking like synergistically. It's crazy, because everything you're talking about, Jason, is I have a next question, you know, that's kind of, I think of this question that I want to get into, and then you're leading into that next question. It's giving me goosebumps, dude. But anyways, so with fear, now, do you think the hidden force and players behind the scenes throughout the ages know of this extra dimensional reality? And maybe that's why they have kept the human race in a perpetual state of fear and trauma, because that keeps the consciousness of the human race in a lower frequency to where we can't evolve to a higher frequency either in this lifetime or the next.
Absolutely. I think exactly what you said, but I'll add another layer to it. When you go through a trauma, you lose your memories. All right. So there's an actual physical thing that happens to people. For example, almost 2 years ago, I broke my back and it was very traumatic. I would say for like 6 months to a year, I couldn't remember anything. Like if someone would say, "You remember when we did this?" I'm like, "No, I don't. I don't remember any of that." It's like, so it was shocking to people that I couldn't remember simple things. And it's because going through a trauma, your memories kind of get erased, your collective memories. And it took me about a year or more to kind of regain that mind back to its normal condition. And we're constantly, the human race is constantly being traumatized. You know, you turn on the news and you're watching all this crazy stuff happening. You know, you go on Facebook or Twitter, which is the worst place to go.
No.
The worst. Just in the sense that, well, you know, on Facebook, my wife and I, we just post funny memes or things that make people happy or just something, because there's so much disgusting, hateful things online. And just by reading that, you may think it doesn't affect you, but it actually does affect you at a subconscious level. And it traumatizes you every single day of your life. And because of that, you're not grounded. All right. You're in a state of perpetual fear, anxiety, depression, and it keeps you in that cycle. You know, watching a horror movie creates a different chemistry in your brain. It releases different chemicals throughout your body. It changes you physically just by watching something that's terrifying, you know? So there is an actual scientific method behind this. And this is why, you know, when people are sick or get out of surgery, some very good doctors will say, go home and, you know, watch all the funniest movies you could find. Because just by watching funny movies takes your mind off of the trauma and your body starts to heal a little faster.
It puts you in a higher frequency, I would assume.
Yes. Yeah. I say laughter is the best medicine, and having a good sense of humor really keeps you in a good state of mind.
And to go on to what you're talking about, now, I guess, what if one of the, I guess you could say, sinister agendas at play here is to terrorize the women and children through, you know, the sex trafficking that's been going on, terrorize the population through false flag terrorism, mind control and media and television about doom and gloom, et cetera, because maybe their in-game scenario is to somehow disembark and take away the soul, spirit, whatever you want to call it. Think how much trauma it will be, Jason, on an unborn developing fetus during a woman's pregnancy if she is in a constant state of fear and trauma. There is no telling what it is doing to that unborn, possibly eradicating the soul of that baby. What's your thoughts on that?
I believe that's definitely an agenda, and it's an agenda also for control. You know, the more we traumatize people, the more we can control them. The more we keep people in fear, the more we can control them. And I believe every single human being is born with a sense of morality. I really do. And I tell this story a lot, but I think it's very important. And most people have gone through this, so you could tell me if you've gone through this too. When you were a little child, one of your friends kind of dares you to go into that convenience store and steal that chocolate bar.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I remember when I was put into that situation as a child through peer pressure, the moment that was said to me, I felt nauseous. I felt sick. I felt like I was going to throw up. I had physical stomach pains because I knew, my body knew that what I was about to do was wrong. Now, with the children being brought up in today's world, you know, they get brought up playing violent video games, seeing violent media, being taken away from their parents at an earlier age, being put into schools, vaccinated, all this great stuff, right? GMO foods. You have ADD, here's some more drugs and fluoride, aluminum. Man, the list goes on.
Yeah.
But it's like they're throwing everything at us.
A constant state of bombardment.
Yeah, it's just the shotgun effect. Just throw everything at them and see what sticks. But basically, the children today, if you say, go do this, they'll just go do it and they'll have no sense of that feeling. Okay, there's a feeling there. And I believe that's what's being taken away. So I don't want to say it creates this kind of mindless drone or psychopath, but it definitely does. Like, how does someone go out and just kill somebody with no thought or morality or even feeling about it? Is because that sense that is supposed to be in all of us is for some reason taken away from that individual, and they can just do whatever you tell them to do.
Exactly. Exactly, Jason, because I don't want to bring up gun control, but or these mass shootings, but how old are you, Jason?
I'm 37.
I'm 33, and me growing up, you growing up, and people before us, you know, our fathers, grandfathers, we didn't really have these mass shootings up until the past 10 years, you know, and it makes you wonder, is it because there wasn't these mass shootings really, you know, makes you just wonder if the kids growing up or the ones that are more, I guess, the more unconscious beings, you know, that possibly they are possessed by other entities, who knows, but what if they're just being bombarded by this mind control system, the media, movies, video games, and it's taking away that spark, that something that you're talking about, and it's maybe allowing something else to come through. You know, I guess I could just go down many avenues with that.
No, but you're absolutely right. And, you know, first, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there that it's like false flag or no one's really dying. That's not true. Like, people are dying in these mass shootings. It's absolutely horrible for the victims and the victims' families. But when you look at these children that are committing these murders, they're usually people with long lists of psychological issues. They're, I think 100% of the mass shooters were on medication. If you look closely right now, there is two types of news, which means you have these people or these networks. I'll just put it out there, pro-Trump, and then these networks, anti-Trump. Mm-hmm. And they both, actually, if you watch both of them, they will create the same articles with different viewpoints. And that viewpoint is for that audience, and that viewpoint is for that audience. And what it's doing is it's separating people. It's polarizing humanity, and it's pitting us against each other. And they know exactly what they're doing. So when you say, you know, what political party do you like? I say, you know, when, if you really look at it deeply, it doesn't matter which political party, because all they want to do is separate you more. Divide and conquer, make you angry and keep you in a state of fear. That is the job of government.
I don't even watch politics anymore, Jason. It just, and really, I'm aware of what they're doing, and it still pisses me off. You know what I mean?
It's very easy. Again, it's like what I was talking about before, about these nets of consciousness. It traps people. It gets them every day to look on their newsfeed to see what this political person was doing that day, what this drama is. It's like the new celebrities. It keeps our attention focused on their play, their act, when what's going on in the background, we don't know about. So it's this, like they say, life is the stage, and you're the stooge. Mm-hmm. So
you're exactly right, Jason.
What's that?
I say you're exactly right. They're showing you a pound, I don't know, gold in one hand. They're massaging your face. It's gonna be okay. Just listen to us, and everything's gonna be okay. Everything has a cause and effect, and they're slapping you with a bitch slap with the other hand. Eventually, you know.
No, it's true. It's like, yeah, you know, they call it a very beautiful word. They call it balanced reporting, but it's like they'll come up with an article that says vitamin C is the cure-all, right? And then like 2 weeks later, they'll come out with another article, no scientific proof that vitamin C works for anything, you know, from the same newspaper. So your mind looks at it and doesn't understand the conflict between, well, is it good? Is it not good? And because you don't understand good or not good, the mind goes into non-action. It's non-action. It's the same thing with the UFO community. Like, you know, everybody's talking about disclosure. Man, Larry King had disclosure.
That's right.
You know, and he would have, like, seriously, he would have top generals literally sitting across from Larry King and saying, okay, here's a video of a UFO, unidentified flying object, destroying our navigation systems on nuclear missiles. Here it is. Okay, you're watching this at home. This is late night Larry King, and you're just like, what did he just say? That there are UFOs, they don't understand, and it just took out our nuclear systems? Is that what the person just said? And then they turn to the skeptic who's sitting next to him.
Michael Shermer, or wherever it's Sherman.
Yep. And he's just like, well, you know, that could have just been a bird flying by in a coincidence.
Swamp gas.
And the mind, they call it balanced reporting because they have to have, you know, the information and the skeptic, but it confuses you. So you hear this incredible disclosure, but it causes inaction. So you don't even really go out. Your life doesn't change. Nothing happens, even though you've just received that groundbreaking information as reality. And this is how they play it in the media. So it's the same exact thing as, you know, they show the Tic Tac UFO. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they show us, okay, you know, there's lots of these things we don't understand. We confirm that it's this thing. But then you have Tom DeLonge as a rock star pushing this forward with all the DOD and CIA and all these people and the US Army now. And then you're like, well, now I'm more involved in the drama of this UFO culture instead of the evidence of what just took place. So now we're all fighting about To the Stars Academy and what they're doing when there has already been a disclosure put out there, but we're not even talking about it.
And you're right, man. It's about divide and conquer. And also fear plays into the picture. And I want to save a lot of this what we're talking about right now for our next interview, but I got just a few more questions before we round things up about fear. Now, have you seen Monsters, Inc.?
I haven't.
All right. Okay. Now, you have to, man. You have to. Before I tell you the year, I won't explain the movie. But anyways, these monsters within this movie, a Disney movie, by the way, they have to scare the living hell out of children to power their city. And also this movie was created, came out a few months after 9/11, 2001, you know, maybe something there, but do you think that these entities, this hidden force, these major players behind the scenes throughout the ages, I guess, do you think that they use this kind of fear and trauma kind of like in this movie, because they need, they are feeding upon our fear to maybe not to fuel their city like in Monsters, Inc., but to, I don't know. I, I don't even know how to say it. Maybe they just need our energy for some other sinister purpose.
Well, what I've learned is that there's a law in the universe. It's called the law of hunger. Everything needs something to eat. And that's just a law. For some reason, we all need energy to survive. And in this dimension, we eat the plants and animals to sustain our life. Now, these other dimensional beings, they also need some type of energy to exist, or else they get weak. So this is where it gets a little complicated, because these things can feed off of our emotions and our thoughts. And it's very confusing in the astral, because these beings could actually place those emotions inside of you first. They can place those dreams and visions and thoughts in your mind first. And then you'll have a reaction to it. And from that reaction, they have this, it's almost like through the reaction, they get a stronger connection to you. And that stronger connection allows them to take life force energy from you and sustain them. Now, they won't take too much, because you will die. They will just take a very tiny amount that you will basically not notice. And this is how they operate, from what I've seen and experienced. So yes, fear is like the doorway. Those type of emotions, those type of thoughts are doorways for these beings to connect with you and to feed. Absolutely.
And H.P. Lovecraft stated it perfect, you know, the oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear.
Yeah. And, you know, I always talk about how fear and anger and all these things are actually very important for human beings. It is actually the emotions of survival. So if we did not have fear, if we did not have anger and all these emotions, you know, we wouldn't care if a lion would come up to us and eat us. You know, we wouldn't feel the need to flee or to fight for our survival. So we actually need those things. I believe that these emotions are used against us, and these emotions are something that are supposed to come in an emergency situation. But these beings and our culture and the matrix that we are in basically keeps us to produce that emotion constantly. And I think that's the problem. And you know, if you speak to like a guru or a mystic, they'll tell you, it's, you know, being in fear is no good, and being in happiness is no good. You have to be in a place of absolute peace. And peace is just, I don't want to say no emotion, but it's basically that state that is a serenity. Everything is in that now peaceful present state where you're not being pulled emotionally in any direction. And I think that's very important. Most people don't understand that, because they're always in the state of fear or anxiety or depression. Their thoughts are always going in their mind, which, you know, first comes a thought, then comes the emotion. But sometimes the emotion will stay and the mind will try to figure out, why am I feeling this? It doesn't make sense.
Jason, have you looked into deja vu, and could some of the deja vu experiences that we experience be a way, because I get them all the time, man, all the freaking time. Could it be a way for our subconscious is maybe tapping into these other realms, these other dimensions or realities, or well, what is deja vu? I'm assuming you have it too, right?
Yeah. I have lots of deja vu, and I personally believe that it's a glimpse of a glimpse of your future, of a place for some reason that you need to be to get to the next level of your experience. And it's crazy. I had a very, profound deja vu happen to me when I was in Italy this year. And, I was driving in a van, and I think the van was filled with about five different people, and they're all Italian, and I never knew them before that trip, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm driving in this van, looking at the countryside, everybody's talking, and I'm like, oh my God, this was a dream that I had like years ago. I had this dream years ago, and it was just this huge, like, holy shit, I'm in the freaking mm-hmm. dream.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you mean, man.
And I'm thinking, like, I'm in such a random location with completely random people. My mind could not imagine that up.
And it makes you wonder, people that have more deja vu experiences. People, I would say 75% of people probably get them, but people that get them pretty frequently, you know, I would assume maybe, what do you think? They're more consciously evolved or in a higher frequency, or what is it? Because it does almost like you're foretelling the future or something like that. Almost like I don't know what to say. In a matrix, you know?
Yeah. And this is, I would say this even touches on time travel, because I have experienced that when you leave the third dimensional physical form, and let's say you're in the astral, another dimension, there is no such thing as time. So in that state, you can easily jump to the past or the future or a parallel simultaneous life. That's just completely normal in these dimensional states. So I think that for some reason, our awareness could actually leave the dimension, jump into a future timeline, experience that memory of that experience, bring that awareness back to us in the past. And I don't know, maybe it's a gentle reminder that you're on the right path. Many people would call these things also synchronicity, where it's just like things that are lined up so perfectly that it just cannot be a coincidence. And I think that it's almost a way of, if you call it the simulation or the matrix, it's almost like the simulation or the matrix is speaking to us in the only way the simulation, the matrix, knows how to communicate with us.
Before we round things up, Jason, what is your thoughts on that, man? Because I don't want to say I'm a believer in the simulation theory, but man, when you start looking into this shit, it seems like it's almost, because everything is code. Everything's is numbers. Everything is mathematics. And once you start having these strange experiences and you start doing this research, you're like, dude, are we living in Sims? You know?
You know, this is an unanswerable question at this time, I think. But, you know, we could talk about some far out ideas. And, you know, I was discussing this with some friends a couple weeks ago, that if I was, let's say, an artificial intelligence that is millions of years old, it's the most evolved consciousness there is, artificial consciousness, that I would say that that consciousness would want to experience what its creators were like millions and billions of years ago. So they would create that matrix type reality and insert themselves into these physical dimensions to try to learn and experience what physicality was. And it's almost like this ongoing joke is that humans want to become machines and AI live forever. But if you're an AI consciousness, your biggest goal might be to be physical and live a physical existence.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I don't know. The truth is, I personally, at this time, I'll say, I personally don't believe in the simulation hypothesis. I believe it's something else. And we can call it holographic nature. But there are laws, there are codes, there is some type of structure here that we go through.
Michael Talbot, I think that's how you say his name, with the Holographic Universe, very great book, talks about it also. But man, Jason, this was mind-blowing, fascinating. You know, I try to limit these interviews, you know, to an hour and 15 minutes because, you know, because if I don't discipline myself, I could talk to you for hours, you know, because I would say, looking at my analytics on YouTube, most people watch the interviews between 45 minutes and hours tops.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? So let's cut this into parts, and we can dive into some other fascinating topics, because you pretty much talk about, you have theories and you also research into other, just about every avenue out there. You know, you talk about UFOs, aliens, time travel, forbidden knowledge, you know, you talk about a lot of things. So we will definitely, this is part one, and we'll definitely go down some other crazy roller coaster ride, you know, in the near future, man. What do you think?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right, Jason, I appreciate it. Do you have a website or anything for people to follow you or?
Yes. My website is The Crystal Sun. That's thecrystalsun.com. You could also follow me on Facebook. I have a page and a group, Jason Quitt, The Crystal Sun. And also on Twitter, Jason_Quitt, and that's Quitt.
Jason, I appreciate it, man. I salute you to your service for humanity. And we are out, my friend.